Hi, welcome to another Revenue Hub Who Are We interview, where we talk with one of our expert partners and find out a bit more about them and their organisation. Today we're joined by Ishem Ben-Yebtry, one of the co-founders of UserGuest. In this discussion, Ishem introduces us to his company, their solution and typical client profile. He also looks a little further into the future and what that might involve, finally touching on the issue of data privacy, including GDPR and a cookieless world. Really hope you enjoy the conversation. Let's get started. Hi, Ishem. Thank you for joining us today. And firstly, really delighted that we can have UserGuest join us as an expert partner. Great to have the chance to talk with you on one of our Who Are We interviews, hear a bit more about UserGuest, how you came about, what you are there to do, how you are adding value to hoteliers. So I guess let's get this started, pass it over to you. How did you guys come about? How long have you been going? Where are you based? Give us a bit of the initial background detail first and foremost.
Yeah, well, first of all, pleasure. Great to talk to you, Trevor. The background, where we started and where we are right now, it's two completely different places. So I'll tell you a bit about myself and how we got to really UserGuest. Background-wise, I've been working in digital marketing, mostly the technical side of things for quite a while. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Montreal, moved to London 2008-09, mm-hmm. and started working with digital marketing agencies, doing mostly SEM, performance, the technical side of things, bidding, this and that. And I got into the hotel business through Expedia. So from okay. that to Expedia, spent quite a few good years at Expedia. That for me was really the PhD, or the MBA, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So it was amazing to work for one of the giants in the industry, leaders, pioneers. They kind of invented this direct booking thing mm-hmm. that we do online nowadays. So from spin-off from Microsoft, obviously. So worked there for quite a few years, learned a lot, and then ventured into first company, which was a marketing agency. Mm-hmm. So that was the first kind of moving away from corporate, starting our business with one of our co-founders from UserGuest. And that was kind of a bit the start of it. So working with the hotels directly, moving to the good side, like I say to hotels, they love it. So moved away from the dark side, if you're a fan of Star Wars, makes a lot of sense. So now working for the good guys, helping hotels, doing great things, doing a lot of... basically doing marketing, performance marketing for hotels. So they would outsource that part to us. Mm-hmm. And the pain point, the problem always came back being the same. We do an amazing job with this campaign, sending a lot of traffic, doing the right things. But then what happens when the user lands on the website?
Yeah.
That's kind of a bit the start of UserGuest. How can we do things a bit better? How can you influence the user to book? What kind of incentives can we push? This and that. So mostly the website part of things. Mm-hmm. So the booking engines, usually they do it quite well.
Yeah.
So it's third parties or these companies, they do things amazingly. And they have so many features on that side, but the missing link is always the website. Mm-hmm. What can we do on the website? How can we really influence users on the website? So that was the start of UserGuest. So we are about 3 years old, give or take. Mm-hmm. So we are pretty much a COVID baby in a lot of ways.
Yeah, exactly.
Mostly during that. We're based in Amsterdam. The team is based mostly in Europe, remotely in Europe. That's our main focus mm-hmm. In general as a market and where we operate the most. But we have quite a bit of a... We're in 40-plus countries. So through COVID, we had to... Be creative, navigate through it like everybody else. But the good thing is we could do this, the selling part, we could do it from anywhere.
Absolutely.
And that's what we did. As soon as you would hear, Mexico is opening.
Bang.
All the effort from Mexico. Tulum is doing very well. Let's go to Tulum. Let's call everybody in Tulum. And that's what happened. So that's what we are. And trying to do things in bigger, better ways.
That's pretty challenging to start a business and then have the COVID land, particularly with the impact on the hotel sector as it was. That must have made it an incredibly challenging time.
Yeah, it was. I mean, being a small company, being a startup, let's say, there's pros and cons. Mm-hmm. So we're much more flexible. It gave us a bit of time to work on product, a bit more processes. So mostly the first part of COVID. So we had like a couple of good times here and there during the summer, mostly. So before the lockdowns, the first, second, or third lockdowns.
Yeah.
So that was okay. But in between, we had time to work on the other things, product, processes, making sure that we working with the right people. So it had a good and bad.
And I guess in a way, is in a sense, the, I hate to use the word advantage with the word COVID, but I guess what it gave hotels is an opportunity to look at it and say, well, if we don't have anybody coming in from the OTAs and we've always been talking about increasing direct bookings, but we've never been able to have a chance to, can we take the risk to turn off the OTAs and just rely on direct bookings? Well, when there was nothing coming in, I guess that's the chance for you to look at it. And then as demand is coming back, to try and look at how you can leverage that. So I guess that has put technology like you guys have very much front and center a lot more at the moment. Would that be fair?
Yeah. It depends. Well, I would say it was split.
Yeah.
So half of the people thought that way. Others thought, I don't even care where the booking comes from. I just want a booking. It could come from a mail.
Just a booking will do.
A booking will do, yeah. So some were not too picky, but at least the good thing that happened was people had the time to rethink the whole tech stack. Mm-hmm. Really take the time to assess all the different options, solutions out there. And I think we had time to really start conversations with the right people. It took a bit more time. They didn't pull the trigger right away, or timing was never right, really in the midst of COVID. But at least they gave them the time to really think, okay, what do I need? Are all the tools essential to running the business? No, am I missing something? Am I relying too much on this, on the OTAs? What can we do?
Yeah.
So some took the time to really reassess the whole situation and make the right decisions for the future. But we've seen that right now, things have completely changed in terms of reaching out to prospects, to talking to hoteliers. They have much more time. They've done their homework during COVID, and now they know exactly what they want. And it's just about timing. Things have just restarted depending on the markets.
Yeah, I think that was the point. It gave people a chance to take a reset almost, didn't it? When you're crazy busy running a property, you know there are things you should be doing, but you don't have the time to do it. And you know you would like to make a change, but can you take the risk? And so it almost provided a natural pause for those to say, well, when we come out of this, how do we want it to be different? You spoke a bit there about the, because we were going to ask about the geographical focus, you know, with you coming from Montreal, then being in London, now having set up in Amsterdam, it would be natural to think that a lot of your business was maybe European. But from what you were saying, you're literally 40 countries all across the world. So there's no real geographical focus. Is there a heavier an area where you focus a bit more, or is it more driven by a client profile? Maybe there's a client profile that's more key for you guys.
It's a bit of everything. So when we started, I think the first beta version of the tool, we tried in destination a bit more remote, where there was a bit less competition. So Southeast Asia, Maldives, Seychelles, where we already had a good network from the previous business.
Yeah.
So it was easier to kind of switch tests on people that we already knew, on hotels that we already knew. We had a relationship. So that's a bit how we started that side of the world. Mm-hmm. But then really when we push the product, the version that we're quite happy with. It was really in the beginnings of the early days of COVID.
Okay, so
at that time, we thought, okay, let's just sell where we can.
Just go wherever.
And what happened is that we started selling much more to countryside properties, like in the UK. UK, we're doing quite well.
Yep.
But our probably biggest portion of clients in the UK would be countryside. like compared to, yeah. if you compare it to,
as compared to city properties or something. Yeah.
So, well, it has shifted since, but the early days really was mostly coming from those kind of properties.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the world is just mostly driven by restrictions or some specific countries or regions opening. Mm-hmm. But the focus, it is mostly independent hotels.
Yeah.
Boutique independent hotels. It depends on the country, actually. Where, let's say, UK, we do better countryside, or mm-hmm. let's say smaller properties, or just outside of the big cities. But let's say France, we do way better in Paris than we do elsewhere. So it really depends on the region,
yeah.
And the market and specificities of each market.
I think the reality is, you know, what you guys do, and we're going to talk about that next, is it doesn't really matter what type of property you are, where you are. It's relate. If you have a hotel website, then your solution. So let's kind of talk about your solution then. So picking up on what you were saying, most hotels will have some sort of form of booking engine, which will handle the booking once somebody lands on their site. And as you say, the vast majority of those do a pretty solid job with that.
Yeah.
At the first point of call, someone's looking on Google, for want of the major search engine, and dreaming of going on holiday now that we can. And rather than landing on an OTA, or even if they have looked on OTAs, I mean, if I take my example, I'll often use an OTA as a quick way of filtering, and then maybe find four or five hotels, but I'll always try and go directly to the hotel if I can. So I found my shortlist. I open up the URLs of the hotel's website, and I land on the hotel website. Now, this is where you guys start to come into play, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So the way we're tackling this specific problem is that, it's been said 100 times in the industry, is that turning lookers into bookers.
Mm-hmm.
Let's call it, this is the problem. Instead of focusing on the conversion part, how can we really boost conversions? And that's all throughout the guest journey, let's say, we focus mostly on how can we push more people to move from the website to the booking engine.
Okay, yeah.
So we always use this example in meetings. Imagine you have a shop on the high street.
Mm-hmm.
If they never make it to the shop, inside the shop, they will never buy.
So it's getting, so they could walk along the high street and see your store, but if they don't walk through the door, then they can't buy your products. Is that, yeah?
Exactly. That's exactly it. So
okay.
What we do is, it's a plug and play. So scripts have been installed on the website mm-hmm. and the booking engine, and it's a layer on top of your website. So whatever website you have, any type of websites, booking engines, we're compatible with. So what happens is that the user lands on the website mm-hmm. and we try to personalize as much as possible the user experience.
Mm-hmm.
So try to show them something that they're looking for, match as much as possible with their booking intention,
mm-hmm.
and provide an incentive for them to stay on the website on one side
mm-hmm.
and go to the booking engine and complete the booking. So mm-hmm. it's really about that, is showing them that there's way higher incentive to book on the website than going elsewhere.
Can you give us an example, you know, like a real, you know, like a life case scenario? So I am XYZ kind of person. What might I see?
Yeah, absolutely. So Harry comes from London, visits a hotel based in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the data that we have, we can predict there's a booking intention, probably very last minute type of booking.
Mm-hmm.
So right, London, going to Paris. That's the behavior that we can predict. Mm-hmm. So what we would do is Harry would see a last minute offer
mm-hmm.
right away, being pushed to him, incentivize him to make a booking on this website, which could be with a discount, with a last minute offer, it's 20% off,
mm-hmm.
or a specific, let's say, if that specific period is a bit lower in pricing than others, there's different types of incentives,
yeah.
different ways you can play with the user and convince the user. But it would push Harry to book a specific date. Mm-hmm. That's one part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the tool. Second part of the tool, what we do, it's a bit, I think our main differentiator is that we are able to convince the user on one side
mm-hmm.
to book the dates and what the hotel would like to sell the most.
Okay, yeah.
Their priorities in terms of inventory.
Okay.
not all bookings are equal.
Mm-hmm.
But they will tell you, depending on when, if it's 60 days out, I'm happy to give better rates. Very last minute is my chance to get the most out of it.
Yeah.
So we implement this kind of a bit of revenue management thinking and strategies directly to the website.
Okay.
In a lot of ways. So matching at the same time, the user booking intent, providing personalization, showing them something that they would like to book and we think they would like to book.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, matching it with what the hotel would like to sell. So basically we look at it as a marketplace where we're matching these two. And the way we're matching these two is providing incentives, whether it's pricing incentive, FOMO, a bit of social proofs, psychological triggers, don't miss out on this. So I did learn a few things, one thing or two from Expedia, I could say. But this is basically the way our tool works. So we're really about pushing as many visitors, users from the website to the booking engine.
Yeah,
but in a way that's probably the most profitable for the hotel.
Mm-hmm. So it's really to ensure, as you say, you're predicting that there is a booking intent, and when they land, how do we make it as appealing as possible for Harry to book now that he's arrived here? And as you say, if I understood correctly, maybe offering an alternative to Harry that may be an additional incentive if he is booking maybe on a different day or something, because that might be when the hotel requires it.
That happens automatically, this matching.
By the way,
it happens is we would show Harry the dates. Let's say we have 2 dates we would love to sell.
We're
running quite low. The rest of the month we're doing amazing, but there's 2 specific days that are running quite low in terms of occupancy. And those days happen to match with Harry's booking behavior.
Right.
What we think it's their booking window, length of stay. So those have to match first.
Yeah.
For us to be able to then create that incentive.
Put those two together.
And push them towards those dates.
Gotcha.
So that happens all in real time.
Gotcha.
So simultaneously, Harry would see something, an incentive to push him to book this weekend based on that booking behavior and booking intent prediction. But at the same time, Trevor's coming from Australia and we're pushing him to, what we can predict, Trevor might be looking to book something in 60 days from now, 90 days from now.
Yeah.
You'll see something completely different type of incentive and other dates being pushed to you.
I've got you. So because I'm maybe 60, 90 days and I'm looking at maybe a 10, 14 day stay, I'm going to see something different to Harry that might be looking to come in on a Thursday or a Friday for a 2-3 night stay and happy to do that in the next week or two.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, we'll be digging a lot more into in other conversations that we have with you, because this is like one of those headline, who are we? And I think you framed that well. And I'm also very conscious of your time as running this business. Looking forward, where... not so much for the industry, but I mean, you guys are 3 years in. So, I mean, there's a whole life ahead of you. But I mean, your organizations, companies like you guys, you never stop developing, evolving without sharing all your competitive secrets. But what are some of the things that you see coming up ahead over the next year, couple of years?
That's a very good one. I have strong views about this, so let's get into it. I think there's a couple of ideas that could be also very much linked, but mm-hmm. one of them is integrations,
mm-hmm.
tech stack integrations. Mm-hmm. I think that will be key in the future. Being able to integrate to any type of tool, whether it's PMS, booking engine, channel managers, even website providers, anything. It has to all work, revenue management tools, SaaS. All these tools, tech stack, needs to work together.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, I think by construct or the bigger companies, they always worked in silos. Okay, want to dominate, we try to make the barriers to entry as high as possible so to retain market share. So obviously, we understand that way of doing business, but I think things have completely changed. mostly now that small companies, small startups, there's so many of these. And I think the way going forward is to be able to work with as many as possible, mm-hmm. share that data, let that data flow for the hotel's benefits. Yeah. At the end of the day, all these tools are working perfectly together, that creates even better results for the hotels. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, one of the biggest trends. Well, has been a very solid trend for the last couple of years, but I think this is it will be the future. You see even the bigger, without naming companies, mm-hmm. the bigger companies in this space, they are moving towards open API, having cloud services, this and that. So I think it's moving in that direction. And the more you can cooperate, work, and find synergies between companies, the better it is for you as a company and ultimately for the clients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
That's, I think, is one of the biggest ones, I would say. And second is automation, mm-hmm. which are pretty much linked.
Yeah.
So if you're able to have this connections, integrations with all this different tools, you can then create a lot of automations for the hotels. We've seen with COVID, one of the downsides, obviously, apart future issues with the industry is the shortage in labor.
Yes.
And these type of integrations and automation ultimately would be key for the industry.
Yeah, and it's all about increasing productivity, isn't it? I think sometimes the moment you talk about automation and technology, everyone goes into, okay, we're cutting people out of jobs. But it's not. You know, you look now, I mean, so much of what I do and probably guys like yourself, you know, they all talk about all these different tools or apps that you bolt together for your own productivity, not your solution, but just to focus in doing your job, because it takes away some of the manual tasks and you do one thing and it triggers a number of events that happen. That means you free up your mind and your time, because in a day's time, that alert will pop up because a piece of technology behind the scene has connected those dots. You can focus on being productive. And in much the same way, I guess, as you know, we do a lot in the revenue management space. And so there's always a fear in that area that it replaces the revenue manager. Well, you don't see finance managers and accountants walking the streets looking for jobs because they've been laid off because of an accountancy software tool. You know, they're just freed from doing that double entry bookkeeping to actually be doing something more productive. And I think mm-hmm. that's where the automation and technology comes in to actually take on those menial tasks and free people up to have more purpose and more value and more impact in their roles, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It frees up your time to do the thinking.
Mm, yeah.
Setting up the right strategies, do a bit of research. What kind of tech could help me do X, Y, and Z?
Yeah.
So I don't see it, the industry in itself, I don't see it. It's the core of it is hospitality. It's being hospitable.
Yeah.
You need that contact with people. So maybe it allows GMs, director of sales and marketing to focus a bit more on providing the service, getting with guests. So that's very important. So, and let a bit the rest, the more the revenue management part of things, the marketing, let's automate that part. Mm-hmm. Let's automate as much as you can so you can focus on what's really important is providing the right service. You're going to have the best hotel, the best looking hotel, the best software, tech stack you can name. But if reviews are bad, horrible service, horrible this and that, it's useless. So at the end, the core of the industry still is providing the service, the guest service.
No, it's a good point. One thing I meant to ask you when we were talking about your solution. So anyone watching or listening to this, forgive that it's slightly out of a logical order of questioning. Cookieless worlds, GDPR, data privacy, there's a massive shift obviously occurring at the moment. And there's also a number of other questions I would ask you in a completely different time around data and ownership of data in the future. But how does your solution work? Because, I mean, you're obviously looking at what people are sharing. So I guess by definition, the fact that they've allowed it to be shared, you're just using what is out there and accessible. Is that right? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So there has been a very tricky subject for, I guess, everybody working in the space. Mm-hmm. But from the get-go, what we try to avoid is anything that has to do with sensitive data, mm-hmm. we stay away from. Mm-hmm. So the way we look at everything, whether it's from the prediction part, booking behavior part, it's aggregated data. We try to look at it from not one user, but a lot of users together. So UK as a pool or specifically. So we stayed awake as much as possible. When we started, I think GDPR was, 2017, 2018. Mm-hmm. It was really a main big topic. And when it hit the whole industry, let's say e-commerce industry. So what we did is avoid as much as possible picking up any sensitive data.
Yeah.
And that's how we kind of avoided any issues. You obviously would always get a bit of questions and concerns from clients that where do we sit? But we had to do the work on our side and making sure that we stayed away from it. We only pick up what makes sense. Yeah. You can get a lot of data without getting into specifics, without getting first names, without getting credit card details. We're not a booking, we're not a payment platform. So for us, it's really understanding the behavior. And the behavior doesn't make sense out of one-to-one per user. But when you start aggregating, seeing patterns, that's where you really get get value and you can get your insights. So yeah, that has been the way to navigate this. But
I think it makes sense. And I was just thinking from a hotel's point of view, you know, it may be technology you want to invest in, but you hear all the time about, you know, GDPR and those rules, and that can be slightly off-putting because, as we, you know, if you don't have time because you're looking after your guests, you know, does it switch you off? So I thought it was just useful to clarify that you're able to handle that in a compliant way. So it wouldn't be naturally, you know, we know we don't need to say you wouldn't be exposing a hotel, but it's probably worth just stating it clearly for anyone listening or watching this. That's brilliant. I think that's covered everything that we typically would discuss on one of these Who Are We interviews. Anything we haven't touched on that you would want to mention, or have we got everything across there?
I think just a bit setting the tone for next interviews or next content we do together. I think where we would like to make an impact and a bit the mission of user guests in a lot of ways is, how would you say that, is avoiding any boundaries, taking off any boundaries between revenue management and marketing. Mm-hmm. So we see in the industry, these two departments working too much in silos. Mm-hmm. But they should be one person. They should one department. There's so many strategies that are implemented, extremely smart things being done on the revenue side of things, but the impact is not there on the website. Mm-hmm. And if you look at it purely from a revenue management perspective, is the segment, the direct segment, is most profitable. So mm-hmm. the whole purpose of revenue is squeezing yield, margins, that's your goal. But your most profitable segment, you don't really have so much access to it because it sits under somebody else, another department. So this is really where we want to step in and change a bit not the culture, but as much as possible, is change this way of thinking that actually we should have a hand on the website. Mm-hmm. Because you would create amazing strategies, do things that definitely move the needle for all your other segments, but you're not really impacting the most important one. Mm-hmm. So that would be a bit the purpose of the vision, the purpose moving forward.
Brilliant. That's wonderful. Hisham, thank you so much for your time today. It's been great to have the opportunity to talk with you. As I say, thanks again for user guest coming on board as an expert partner, and really look forward to talking with you more in the future and working with you guys. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much. Likewise, it was a pleasure. And we'll speak soon.
Take care.
Bye.
Well, I hope that conversation was of interest, and thanks again to Hisham for joining us. If you have any thoughts or views on this discussion, please feel free to reach out. We value your input and we're happy to follow up with our guests. Also, if there are any topics that particularly interest you, or if there are any specific guests you would like to hear from, please do let us know. You can reach us via our social channels, or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. If you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. And if you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. And if you do watch it on YouTube, it would be great if you could give it a thumbs up or even subscribe, as it really helps out the channel. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.